Our brother Lee Prater will be conducting our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to attend that service. We'd like to remind you that the 4 p.m. discipleship class, led by Pastor Otero, features the very interesting studies from the book of Ecclesiastes, which searches for an answer to the question, what is the advantage of humanity's work in wisdom? It teaches how we should live in this world under the sun, in this present evil age, but also as citizens of heaven. And we're everyone is welcome to attend that 4 p.m. discipleship class, and it should be very rewarding. Please consult your bulletin for other activities this afternoon. In our 5 p.m. evening worship service, Pastor Otero will continue the series on Christ in the Old Testament. And today he will be speaking on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine, continuing in the topic on the attributes of God. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. We will be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, and let us begin our worship now with hymn number 70, Holy, Holy, Holy. Continue our worship now with hymn number 222, There Is a Fountain.
Thank you.
you please stand now as we sing hymn number 393, Take My Life and Let It Be?
Look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We are glad that together with salvation, you could meet us to the preaching of the gospel and to the evangelization of everyone that we are in contact with. We thank you, Lord, that your gospel is a gospel of love, a gospel of compassion, a gospel that have reached our sinners, a gospel that has changed our life forever, a gospel that can change the life of anyone today and forevermore. And we are thankful, Father, that you instituted the Church of the Living God. Our church is no our church, it's your church. And the churches around the world are the churches that belong to you. They are different. Some of them do things in different way because you choose us in a very remarkable way to do your work so that we can feed the needs of many thousands of people. And we are grateful, Father, for that. Now we pray, Lord, that as we worship today, the reading of thy word, the singing of praises of the choir, and the exposition of thy word in a very difficult topic, thou shalt not kill, will bring to our attention the seriousness that reflects our life before you and bring to our attention that we are not really the owner of our own life, that you are the proprietor of our life and you demand respect of you. The Father, also you provide for us a way in which we can love you by respecting our own life, by believing in you. So, Father, help us to understand the complicity of that command in view of the gospel of Jesus our Lord. Father, we also have missionaries around the world, apart from the radio broadcast and KKMC and the internet and the radio broadcast and KK and KXX. And so, Father, we are delighted that we can bring the gospel via radio to thousands and thousands of people. But also we believe in the personal touch of the human being and missionaries. And we are thankful for Fred and Carol Lewis now departing in 2 weeks to Siberia to teach Russian people how to bring the gospel. We are grateful for Carol and Ruth Knott as they have deputation in America. We are grateful for Eusebio and Maritza Perez, who are in Benal Madena, the beautiful city on the Mediterranean in Spain. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of a turbulent world. For Ruben and Irene Zachert in Lodi, in that beautiful place over there in California, as they work with the Spanish people. for the sport association right here in San Jose to reach the young people in a marvelous way. For Martha Poretti, who is with us today, who reaches the people in the drug addict situation and also the ladies of their churches. And Father, for Danielle Lacey, who is today on the race, on the track, on the trade meet there in Washington, D.C., have been there for Friday, Saturday, and concluding the race today. And we pray that his contact with those racers and contact with these people will bring to them one thing, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, so they too may be able to see that Jesus have grace and that the glorious God who has power to choose and power to elect his people uses human being to communicate the gospel in a very peculiar way, because who will think that in a race somebody is going to be there praying with them? Thank you, Lord, for Daniel. And we pray for Miriam that she be holding all right in spite of all this situation. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us today. May the joy of the Lord reflect the power of God in our life. We are grateful for the offering that your people are able to bring every Sunday. And the cost of our church increases and moves on. But, Lord, you keep on providing. And so we are grateful for the offering and grateful for the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the second book of Moses called Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 48. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we are able to come boldly to the throne of grace because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of your law, your whole counsel, which is just and holy and good. We thank you in particular this morning for the 20th chapter, the book of Exodus, and the study on the law against murder. We thank you for the knowledge that we are citizens of heaven. But we pray for this nation in which we presently live that it would return to those beliefs and actions on which it was founded, a country with a firm reliance on you. We pray for an end to the killing of the most helpless of those among us. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero. Lord, we ask that you would bless Pastor as he comes to teach us out of your law. We can say with the psalmist how we love your law. Give us understanding and give belief and understanding to those listening here and on the radio and internet who may not know you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother, and just want to make two or three remarks before the sermon this morning. Number one, I'm glad that you are here this morning, and I'm thankful that you are attending Bethel Baptist Church, and I'm thankful for those who are on the radio listening, those who are in the internet listening. I'm grateful for the Vitola family, ground members of our church that live in Nevada, and they are visiting, and they are with us today. Welcome again, brother and sister Laura. And I'm grateful for Martha Paretti that came all the way from Argentina. Husband had to do some work here and she was able to come. And we know her for her work with the drug addicts in Argentina. And this evening we'll say a few words to you about the progress of the ministry. I'm also want to say to those who are right there on the air that you hear the piano today with Emmy Dulillo. From Aptos, and we are really, really proud about our young people who participate in praising God. And one more plug for the 4 o'clock class. If you ever are interested in the book of Ecclesiastes, a very different book from any other book of the Bible, in the sense it's so practical, the man was so rich and so powerful and so tired of living. If you are ever said, well, what I'm living, I'm sick and tired of living, everything go wrong. This guy is in the reverse. Everything was right, and he got too much money and too much entertainment, in too much luxury, and he said, all is so bad, I want to die. So we have to study this, and so we are preparing notes, and for those who listen to, they can be sent free of charge, and so you will have this, and the class is going to be recorded in case that you live far away and cannot come back, and the tapes will be available for you free of charge also. So I'm enjoying reading the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm enjoying to teach it now, but I think it's the 90 times in my life as one of the books that have taught me to come down to earth and to look life just as really is. It's just so beautiful. The words of a king, with the most powerful king on earth they ever have, with the richest that no man can have. And then he said, all is vanity. Why? It's a great and mighty book. Now I bring you back to the Ten Commandments that we study already. And just briefly, may I say to you that the first four commandments that you find in Exodus in chapter 20 have to do with our relationship with God. And the other six commandments, 5 to 10, have to do with our relationship to one another. Now, the first guideline God instructed us for the good of society is in verse 12, and is the family. God, when God wants to protect society, and when God wants to give us a line of thoughts to protect our life, to protect a nation, he starts with the family. Family is priority number one. And you can have a copy of all the commandments. They are there in the back, and you can take the tapes free of charge to you if you want to listen to them. They are gorgeous, and they are tomorrow's newspaper if you want to know. Now, let me read for you from the Hebrew Bible, verse 13. And the English Bible said, thou shalt not kill. It's very short in the Hebrew Bible. They said, lo tirshak. Lo tirshak. What that means? Here's what lo tirshak really means. Do not put anyone to death without cause. They're different from the English version. Do not put anyone to death without cause. So God actually is not saying no kill, period. He's saying do not put anyone to death without cause. There are several verbs in the Hebrew language that describe the word to kill. And the one used here refers to what is defined as deliberately premeditated manslaughter with malice beforehand. You plan to kill, you prepare everything ready, and then you accomplish the killing. That's manslaughter, and that's what the Bible says. Now, this commandment is the foundation of justice. You do not respect this commandment, you got no justice in your country. And it's such a foundation that all the human governments need to build upon this commandment. Human life do not belong to you. Belong to me, say God. And here is my rule. If you premeditated a murder, then you shall die. Now, I looked at the commandment many times. And this is my fifth time of preaching, second time in my church, but fifth time of preaching the commandment that I did in conference. And I look on it. Each time I preach again, I review the whole thing afresh. I have this ability to erase what I know and get again afresh. And in order to view this commandment, I think that we need to understand the human being, who we are. And so we need to understand what we are made of. If you go to a doctor and you ask the question, doctor, what is stuff I made of? He maybe come up with some biological description of you. But I want to give you the God's description of what you and I are made of so that we understand when God said, do not kill, what he really means in the extent of the commandment. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, page 697, if you are using a Bible that is in the pew, 697. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. There God described what you are made of. It's surprising. God specifically used three distinct Greek words. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, you as a human being. And look at what Paul says. And may your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many parts are in you? The Bible says you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Of course, you do not find this definition of a body, of a human being, in a medicine book, but you find it in the one who made human beings. A book of medicine only discovers what has been made, but the one who wrote this is the one who made you and me. And God said that you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Now, in view of God's information about mankind, when God said, thou shalt not kill, that implied the whole thing of you. And so we're going to look three things, and thou shalt not kill. Number one, thou shalt not kill the spirit. That's the first part. Number two, thou shalt not kill the soul. And then number three, thou shalt not kill the body, which is the one that we see more often and is more up to the view. So let's study this. It's very, very simple, but deep. Mankind is made of three things: spirit, soul, and body. And when God said, thou shalt not kill, he's saying, you should not kill the spirit, you should not kill the soul, you should not kill the body. So let's break these parts and analyze them and see as God sees it. Thou shalt not kill the spirit. Number one. Here is how we can kill the spirit. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. Page 705. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8 to 11. Here is how you can kill the spirit. Page 705. Let me read it for you. The writer of the book of Hebrews said in verse 8, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. How do you kill the spirit? You harden your heart. You harden your heart. You ignore God. You read about God in the Bible. You read about God in a tract. Somebody tells you about God. You listen to God on the radio. You listen to a sermon. But you are indifferent to God. You harden your heart. You care less about God. We all been in that way before. I was in that way. We all been in that way. Somewhere, somehow, some of you grew up in Christian families where God was brought from the very beginning, and perhaps you never thought about hardening your heart because your mother prayed with you, your grandfather prayed with you, and that happened to me. But at 12, 13 years old, I said, goodbye, God, I have my life. I have my life. And at 16, 17, I went to university and went into sports, and I had success, and I need no God until God said, you. I hardened my heart. And when we harden our heart, we kill the spirit that is in us, who is hungry for the presence of God. Number one, you kill the spirit by hardening your heart. Number two, you kill the spirit by grieving God. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, page 490 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, page 490 in the New Testament. You kill the spirit by rejecting God and saying, I care less about God, but also you kill the spirit when you grieve God. Look at what the Bible says. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, how do you grieve the spirit? The context of Ephesians chapter 4 is this. The context tells you that people sin and they disregard the life and the presence of God and disobey the law. And when we disobey the Bible and when children disregard God's commandment and disobey their parents, you actually are grieving your spirit. And when we adults know what God said and disregard what God said, we are grieving the spirit within ourselves. When a husband doesn't love his wife, regardless if she cooked enchiladas or not, you have to love it. You understand what I mean? And when a wife do not respect the husband, regardless what kind of person he is, you marry him and you respect him. We disobey the law. And so the Bible is very careful. And the Bible said, do not grieve the Spirit. These things grieve the Spirit of God. And you kill the Spirit. You feel powerless. The joy of the Lord is not in you. And if you're an unbeliever, you feel lost and you don't know why. Confused and you don't know why. You know the things that happen in America with these things of corporate corruption. Well, always has been there. Corporate corruption. And some of the retirement people depend on these stocks. And I was in the coffee shop with the retired people, and they were there with a newspaper grieving upon the loss. And I said to them, you know, where do you put your trust for retirement? In the stock market. Oh, how fool you are. He said, why? Is it a better place? Yes, in God. In God. You put all your eggs in the same basket. And now the basket is shaking. And they don't know what to do, you know. And I tell you, mankind is mankind. And you need to look to God. And they said, well, where is God? We go to church. And they have not heard about a God who is so intimate and so personal that you can really have the presence of God in your life. And I feel sorry for that. But some of the people, when they hear it, they say, well, we don't care. That's hardening the heart. Israel did the same thing. Some people say, I'm a religious person. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about you and God together. You and God. When I came to America, I did not know one word in English. And you land in the airport, I thought in French they will talk, in Italian they will talk, in German they will talk, everyone speak English. Finally, from the white phone, they said, Mr. Otero. So I got the white phone, said, so-and-so is waiting for you in such a place. So I went over there. And I said, what's going on? They only speak English. That's right, this is America. See, America is so powerful. The people are so impressed with America that I thought people would speak four or five languages. And for the first time in my life, I feel alone. Alone. I went to work, and there was a wall of engineers around me, all speaking in English. Alone. My only good language was my math. But my only language was international. So my wife and I glue as we never glue before. We're only 3 years married, and this was good to us. I had to depend on my wife. My wife had to depend on me. We were the only one communicating. And I was anxious when I get home to see my wife and talk and get it talked back. What a glue, you know. Yes, we were places together, but we cannot talk to anybody, so... That's the God that I offer you. That's the real God. He's with you all the time. And you can talk to him. And you dial 911 and he's already right there with you. That's a God. Not a God of religion. Not a God mystical. A real God. A God that you can relate to and pray and bring your life to him. But if you reject him, you are killing the spirit that's within you. You have a spirit within you. And if you say, I care less about God because of circumstances or because of people. Some people tell me, well, I cannot believe in God because so-and-so said that he believed in God and did this. It's possible. I believe you. But God is not asking you to believe in him because of so-and-so. God is asking you to believe in him because he's God. Don't kill the spirit. Number two, thou shalt not kill the soul. The soul is the part of you that holds your mind and emotions of your life. And how do you kill the soul? Jesus put it a nice way in Matthew 5, verse 21 and 22. I think it's page 563 in your Bible, if I'm not making a mistake. Matthew 5, first book of the New Testament, verse 21 and 22. You remember the passage when Jesus talks about killing the soul. Jesus said, you have heard, it was said to those of all, you shall not murder. He referred to the commandment. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever say to his brother, Raca, I hate you, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell and fire. You know, you can kill your soul by judging your brother. You're judging everybody. You judge this man and you judge this. Do not judge your brother. Do not assume wrongdoing about your brother. And as a pastor, you hear thousands of things coming into your way. I thank God I never judge anybody. Rather, my disposition is, how can I help you? How can I put my hand down, 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 so that I can bring you up, up, up? That's the function of a pastor. But if that's your function as a brother. But if we hate our brother, if we judge our brother, if we become angry with our brother, we kill our emotions. And the only thing wrong is you. The other person keep on doing what they are doing, but you become really sick because you're angry. Now, remember that I read without a cause. So there are moments that are a cause. So now, when there is a cause, for how long I can be angry? All right, let's turn the Bible to Ephesians 4 and verse 26, page 690. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, page 690. For how long I can be angry? Because the Bible said without a cause. Now I have a cause. My children disobey me. My wife has spent too much money and don't talk to me about it. And I get upset with my wife. How long are you going to be angry? Look at what the Bible says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. Right here in summertime in California, in the Bay Area, the sun go down 9:15, 9:30. And where my daughter live in Oregon, go at 10 o'clock, 10:30. But whatever that time is, don't be angry after that. In other words, God is saying, don't go to bed with anger. You may be angry of your boss. You may be angry of this, or angry of this. Please, you're going to kill your soul if you continue in that way. Make peace. Deal with the situation. Get it over. And you'll be at peace with God and peace with yourself. Remarkable counsel. I mean, I never heard a psychologist or a psychiatrist giving this kind of counsel. They give you all kinds of questions and all kinds of background, but this is a simple answer. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Deal with the situation. Get it over. Don't keep it in your heart so that tomorrow is not resentment. So you kill your soul with your motives. And number two, you kill your soul with your attitude. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, page 718. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. You kill your soul with your motives, and you keep those motives within you, or you kill your soul with your attitude. 1 John 3 and verse 15. That's very strong language. Page 718. Look at what the Bible says. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Wow. Do you see it? I mean, that scared me. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You know if somebody hates his brother and continue to hate his brother and hates his brother, God said that person is not a believer. Woo! What kind of attitude do we have about those around us? Do not kill your brother by hating him, because actually you are killing yourself. If you hold forever your hate against somebody, then you are not a believer, said the Bible. Now that's serious business. So you can kill the emotions. You can kill your mind. Don't you notice that when you are upset, you cannot think well? When I am upset, I cannot do math, which I love to do math. Sometimes, just to rest from reading Hebrew or Greek, I just start making equations and things that just to enjoy myself, to get the head running. But if you are upset, I don't know what 4 plus 4 is, because, you know, it just gets you like in a cloud. I cannot be upset too long. I have to solve the problem. I had to confess I have been wrong. Or I had to ask somebody, apologize. Even though if I did nothing wrong, I had to apologize so that the other person knows that I'm aware and I'm at peace. Do not kill your spirit. Do not kill your soul. And now comes the hard one. Do not kill your body. You can kill your body by ignoring the creator of the body. Go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. You can kill your body by ignoring the creator of your body. Those who believe in evolution, they kill their body because they ignore the creator. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, God is not repeating the creation, but is giving us a detail, a remarkable biological detail of the creation of a body. God said, and the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which means Jehovah, formed man of the dust of the ground, that's your body, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, that's the spirit, and man became a living being, that's the soul. Isn't that fantastic? When God writes it so simple, and one strike say it all. And God create all of these. Create your body out of the dust. So when a doctor or a biologist examine a body, can find in a body parts of the ground, minerals that are in the ground, they are in your body because that's where you come from. Medicine that is in the ground is good for your body because your body belongs to the ground. And then God said, this is the way I made it. And what mankind and Satan have done have created evolution. And the worst part is that some Christians mix evolution with creationism. There is no room for one or the other. Either you respect God and acknowledge the creator, the designer, or you ignore God and you kill your body. You can kill the body by ignoring who is the proprietor of your body. Look at in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 20, page 673 in your Bible. Page 673, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And look what God says. For we were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You cannot do what you want with your body. Belong to God. That's the first lesson I give to people when I counsel people with the problem or drug, whether that drug is coffee, and I had to counsel myself because I was very bad in coffee, and or any kind of drug. I said, look, the first lesson you need to learn is not about the drug or about the habit, because they draw you. If you have been drinking coffee, you know how they draw you with passion. You need to understand that you are not the owner of your body, and you cannot bring external pleasure to your body because you are not the owner of your body. And that makes you awake. Who is the owner? God. He's the creator. So let us be careful what we do with our body. It is not our, it is the Lord. So you can kill the body. You can kill the body by ignoring the creator. You can kill the body by ignoring who is the proprietor of your body, who owns you. And finally, you can kill the body by inflicting personal injury. And we have an example of the Bible so clear and so beautiful in Genesis chapter 4. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Here is the example that you can kill your body by inflicting a personal injury. And I think mankind only deal with that part today in justice, and they ignore the spiritual part. But we Christians know that we are not just a body. We have a spirit and we have a soul that need to deal. Now let's deal with the body. Genesis 4, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? You know when children in your home do something wrong, don't you? If you have children, I only have one, but my grandma was very specialist. She will go out and I will engineer to go and get to the jars of cookies and so on. And my dog will be all the things in their face, you know, and I just so nice like that, you know, when you're a child. And grandma said, is anything wrong? So, no, no. Is anything happened in my absence? No, no. And I looked at the dog, I forgot to clean the dog. See, parents know, young people, your face. Your mother knows your face because she brought you into the world. She knows you from the very fiber of their love. And they know when they're wrong. And so God brought us into the world. And he knows from the very fiber of his life. And he said in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, he said, why have your countenance fallen? And then verse 7 said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. And look at verse 8. After God counseled Cain and said, Cain, you can do as well as your brother. Go and do it again. Look at what Cain did. And now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and murdered him, said the original language, and murdered him. Now, that's killing the body. That is killing the body. As we read in the paper, we read in every place, we look in the television news and we hear it. We just saw this little girl, 5 years old, dying, somebody killed. People still doing the same. Some people say, we live in the year 2002. It's different. No, it's not different. It's not different. Cain was envious of his brother. Rather than looking to God for counsel, he took counsel in his own hand. And he said, I finished with my brother and I finished with God's law. And he created a chain that is still today very, very bad. Now, is any penalty for killing the spirit, killing the soul, or killing the body? And so in my conclusion, I will leave you the penalties. There is a penalty for the one who killed the spirit. It's found in Mark Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 16, at page 597. Mark Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 16, page 597. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believe not shall be damned, said the original. Woo! You ignore God, you disregard the Spirit of God, you care less about God, you die and you go into hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Please. I don't want you to go to hell. That's what I'm preaching. I don't want you to ignore God. Please. But God said, as a warning sign, as when you go into the freeway, is it go back wrong way? Okay, God is putting this sign to you. You can be saved. You can be united with God by believing in Him. But you ignore believing in Him, you're going to hell. God will damn you for not believing. You can kill the soul. Let's see the penalty in Matthew 10 and in verse 28. Matthew 10 at verse 28. Jesus commenting on human beings, he says, and fear not them which kill the body. Don't fear those who kill your body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You ignore the counsel of God and how you need to have a soul clean before God, then you too end in hell. And there is a penalty for killing the body. Never abolish, never change, never improve, there is a penalty. It's in Genesis chapter 9 and in verse 6. This is a civil law, and this is the penalty for killing the body. Genesis 9 and verse 6. Whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Whosoever take the liberty of murdering somebody, whosoever take the liberty to premeditate death without a cause, that means war, for example, without a cause, then, said the scripture, that man should be put to death so that God will judge it. There is, people say, oh, that's cruel. Oh, that is bad. Oh, that is not human. But God said, if you want to keep your land clean, you keep this law afresh. Never change in the New Testament. Never change. If a man premeditate murder, he shall be killed. Well, I'm glad in the state of California until today, we still have the death penalty. I'm very glad. I'm not glad for the penalty, but I'm glad that we have it because need to be exercised to obey God. But there is a penalty that is overlooked. Millions of people die every year, premeditated by the hands of doctors. And nobody killed those doctors. See, when a doctor makes an abortion, he's committing premeditated murder. And the Bible said the doctor and the patient should be dead. Now, that sounds cruel. That sounds inhuman. But if you do it three times, nobody's going to do abortion anymore. Believe me. If you enforce the law of God three times, nobody will like to, no doctor will like to do it. And no woman will expose herself. Oh, we can have a better, we can improve the social life. No social, the only way to improve social life is to obey God's law. You cannot premeditate murder, whether it is a being in the wombs of a mother or a human being standing before you. You cannot premeditate murder. It is against the law of God. And God, out of love, said, here's the penalty, so that nobody fool around with it. I don't have the time. I have here the example. Israel fool around with it. And God killed 465,000 Israelites that disobeyed God. And Israel learned that God's law are not for fooling. I'm so glad that we Christians have a great, great appreciation of life. I'm so glad that we Christians love the Lord, and the Lord has given us a light beyond comprehension how we appreciate our life and the life of other people. So please, please, be sure you obey God's law. And you obey God's law by believing in the one that came to give you life and life from above. The Lord Jesus. It is only one way to go. Either you go with God or against God. And if you go against God, your spirit will be killed, your soul will be killed, and finally your body will be in hell. It's crude, it's bad, but it's the truth. Only those who believe will enjoy it. And then in this world, you are planning to do murder by abortion, think twice. Because you are created in the image of God. And the baby in your wombs is a baby designed by God. And you have no rights to overrule God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the severity of your law. Help us to humble ourselves and to obey your law to the very detail, that we may not commit this sin of killing the spirit, the soul, and the body. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Oh!
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.